So welcome to the third and final day of this retreat. I must admit that I am feeling a little left out because I don't have a cup of tea. It seems that there's a thing going on here, some major giggling, and everyone has a cup. And you know, sometimes when I'm doing a talk like this, I get myself a cup of tea and then it just goes cold. So I'm going to wait till afterwards. You have to enjoy yours instead. So one thing to announce before we get into the session today, what we have found during a retreat to be incredibly effective is a balance of silence so that we can go deeper into our own introspection and contemplation and all of that meditation. And then balancing that with the community, with the family that is here on this retreat. We are all not here by choice, as I said before. And open, honest communication, sharing of what challenges are coming up for you during the retreat and getting support from those that are on retreat as well is really, really vital. So to facilitate that, after the guided meditation finishes, so we have this session, we have the silent sitting, and then 2:30 to 3 p.m. guided meditation, then we have 90 minutes before the final session. What we're going to do is I will transfer the meeting over to Claire, and I'll leave the meeting. We'll leave the meeting open, and I would highly encourage you to stay and join a spontaneous kind of Sangha get together. You don't have to speak or even have your camera on if you don't want to. And it won't be recorded. I won't be there. So you can just kind of chat and make friends and share your insights, your challenges, your understandings, things that have been difficult for you in a general, you know, community kind of way, because our insights and our sharings are extraordinarily powerful. And if it's coming up for you during this retreat time, it will be of relevance to everyone. So it won't be recorded, as we've said. It will just be a safe, open place. Not that things aren't safe when they're recorded, but less perhaps pressure on you and more ability to share. And even if you just want to join and listen, that's totally okay. If you don't want to join at all, that's totally okay too. But I would really recommend, if you can, to take part in that, just to help you get the most out of this retreat. So we will have an hour after the silent sitting before that guided meditation, which will be in silence again, just to allow you to go really deep. And this is the third day. So the work that you're doing here, and I don't really want to call it work, but it's going to really give maximum benefit. Now, the longer the retreat goes on, the deeper the insights and the epiphanies and the aha moments you're going to have access to and the understanding, the more amazing the questions are eliciting a powerful answer that really shifts us all as a group too. So very, very important to really get the most out of this last few sessions that we have together. So I was pondering this morning what to talk about in this session, because I wanted to share something that would, like all of the talks, hopefully have a big impact and maybe shift something within us that we might be struggling with. Maybe we haven't really realized most of the challenges I faced in my awakening. I didn't realize I was actually going through until afterwards. I know that sounds very strange. I mean, I knew something was very difficult or challenging, but I didn't necessarily know what that issue was, what the thought was that I was believing, etc., until I'd come to see later that it wasn't true. And awakening is, as I've said, one of the most important things that a human being can ever commit themselves to. And it's also one of the most challenging, because really what we're being asked to do is to be willing to change our whole thought process. If we look at the average human being's thought stream, if we could somehow watch someone's thought stream for a whole day, even an hour, we'd see that nearly all of those thoughts, and perhaps for people not even on the pathway, it would be all of those thoughts, are from the perspective of being a separate being, trying to make it through the world, trying to get what they need and want, and all of that. So you are being asked, really, by life, by the self, by yourself, to really dig deeper than any other human being would. Something more challenging, in fact, even than trying to... I've been watching a lot of sci-fi lately, so you just have to forgive me. Getting on a spaceship and traveling 100 years out into deep space, not knowing what was there, because you would still have your own familiar thought process to take with you. And here, we're being asked to kind of take everything that we thought was true and see that that was wrong, and then come to a new way of being with ourselves and with the world. And that isn't an easy thing to do. And that's one of the reasons why this community, this family that we have here in this retreat, is extraordinarily important. Even you can see that the people on this meeting, even now, want the same thing that you do and are finding it as challenging as you do, and are going through the same difficulties and challenges as you are. How they show up in your life may be completely different to how it did in mine. So kind of one of my roles is to be that person, that non-person, that made it through, and is evidence that that is actually possible, to change your whole thought process. That even when we feel that something is being asked of us that is too big, that is too strong, too much by life, and perhaps our favorite thoughts about ourselves are not the ones we might think, our favorite thoughts that we hold on to most might not be the ones that you really expect. We might feel on some level that the thoughts that we'd want to have most allegiance to, the most difficulty, therefore, challenging them, are the ones that make us feel worst of all. It's much easier somehow to let go of the idea that you're a good person and move into the self than it is to let go of the idea that you just don't deserve to be happy, and that happiness is your, move into the idea that happiness is your essential nature when devoid of believing thoughts. It was much harder for me to transcend the idea that who I am is shameful and wrong and all of that. And it was relatively easy for me to let go of the idea that I'm getting somewhere in my awakening and I'm doing much better. Those thoughts, they weren't really all that allegiance, that much allegiance to, but the ones that made me feel worst of all, that there was no point, that there was no hope, that there was no way forward, that I was never going to make it. Those were the ones that life really, really had to pry away from me. If you ever like got a crowbar into something, I had to really pull. This life was like, give me these thoughts. And I'm like, no, you can't have them, because they're very true. If you've ever been there yourself, you know, I'm sure you have. And I'm sat there with this bundle of thoughts that I will not give any headroom, any headway on, because they were so obviously absolutely true that I was living them every day. This attitude that I was not ever going to make it to awakening. And this kind of crazy dream I had about wanting to help people, teaching just seemed so ridiculously painful to feel that I could ever achieve that and do that, that it was much easier to hold on to the idea that I just would never make it, to accept sadness, grief, unworthiness, despair, than to push through. So the reason I'm saying all of this is because you may have a different perspective on yourself than I do on you, about you. And you may have a very opposite perspective to the way that I see you, the way the self sees you, the way the infinite beingness and love sees you, the presence. And I would like to try to shift your own perspective about yourself. So I'm coming in here with a crowbar and I'm asking for your help during this session to be willing to let me prize it open if you can. Just a little more willingness. Because when I was on my own journey, these ideas that bad things were happening to me because I deserve them on some level, and because there's something wrong with me, it was so very seductive and powerful. And I was totally, totally entranced by that idea, and it kept on playing out over and over again. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why, if I'm trying my hardest on the pathway, does my life keep turning to a complete mess? I was going to say another word there. Yeah. So why, when I'm trying so, so hard, giving it everything I've got, does this keep going wrong, awakening, life, whichever, all of the above? And it's easy to have that experience, conclude that there's something wrong with you as a seeker, a student, or that you're somehow missing something vital or something like that. And some of the hardest challenges in any human existence will happen for those that have committed to awakening, some of the darkest times. But what if they're happening for a completely different reason than what you might have considered? Would you allow me to give you another option to consider? Are you a separate being struggling to try to get to awakening, to back to home, and having all of these challenges because you're not doing a good enough job or something like that, whatever your mind is telling you? Or could it be that you are already the infinite self, and that you are so completely already this epic love, compassion, wisdom, kindness, generosity, charity, that you chose this human incarnation and all of its challenges in order to feel these feelings, experience these doubts, these challenges, and to change them back into peace? What if you're not here as a punishment or a trying to get back to some level of perfection? What if you're already that perfection? And you took a look at the state of the world and said, I'd like to do my part this lifetime to transmute these heavy, heavy frequencies that human beings struggle with. What if you came here to feel shame and turn it back into peace, and apathy and guilt and fear and anger and frustration and despair, hopelessness? What if that was the reason that you drew this body form to you? And I'm saying this because it's a total 180 on why perhaps you might think you're going through these challenges. And there's this one line that keeps ringing through my head, so I'm going to say it. And of course, you'll know who said it. It says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm paraphrasing. But there was a point for me where that really made sense. If I already am this, why would I choose to come back here in physical incarnation, at least come back a relative term that, you know, why would I ever choose to come back to such a challenging, difficult lifetime with all of the things that you've gone through up until this point and will go through until the end of the body? What would be the highest reason? We know the lowest reason that our mind suggests, but are you willing to let me pry these thoughts away from you that you're being punished or something like that on some level by life, by the self? You know, you're not really a separate being. So every time you feel fear and transmute it, feel it a little bit, and a little bit of it goes back to peace, you simultaneously change the overall level of consciousness of all humanity. That's what it means to be the one. That you're not just working through your stuff, your challenges, your karmic patterns. You're working through everyone's. And I don't mean to put a burden on you. Oh my God, I've got to save the planet now. I tried that and it's really quite dull. Still pick it up every now and again. But do you realize the power and the difference that you're making, even just by attending this session, this retreat, by committing your life to this? That every time you feel some shame or apathy or despair or guilt, and you just let it be a little bit more inside you, let it exist, that you're making it that much harder for the rest of humanity to hate themselves, judge themselves, to feel what human beings feel on a daily basis. And then the power that happens when a group of us come together like this, it really, I cannot describe how that makes me feel inside. If I try, if I try to describe that, I won't be able to finish the rest of the session. So you'll just have to kind of try to feel it inside yourself and sense it. So I'm going to ask you again, will you let me prize a gap, leave a gap into why your life has been the way it has? Could you be so powerful, so compassionate, so wise, so loving, temporarily forgotten all of that in thoughts? Agreed, we all do. But nonetheless, that power, that compassion said, what can I do for manifestation? What can I do for the world? What can I do or be for the greatest evolution of humanity? What can I do to be an embodiment of this love? Would you have chosen an easy lifetime? Or would you have said, let me look at some of these heaviest frequencies that we might encounter and see what I can do about them? Because none of us remember this on a conscious level, at least until a certain point in our awakening, we might become conscious of the fact that we did choose this on some level. We didn't ever sign up for the horrible ways that we might have been treated or have treated others. But we might have, on a general level, signed up for perhaps the most challenging lifetime that we could handle. That's certainly been true for me. This has been the most challenging lifetime that I can remember for a very long time. But knowing consciously why that is occurring changed everything. And we're having to remind myself, and I'm reminding you right now, of what you knew before you had this physical body. And that you are succeeding in this most noble and holy mission. H-O-L-Y. Because here you are waking up, here you are being brave, here you are facing the challenges, here you are coming together in a community, here you are still attending retreat. I haven't scared you off yet, and we're on to day three, so you're doing pretty well. To have come through the illusion enough, out of the other side of the illusion of being a separate being enough, at least that you know there's something else to aim for, and that there might be a higher purpose for this existence. That is profound. When you look at how many human beings are still totally caught in illusion, and of course there is nothing wrong with that. They will come out of it when they come out of it, when they're ready. You're already coming out of it. You've already found the truth of your being to whatever extent that you've experienced that. And then you're already empowering yourself to work through these things that might just seem like my challenge with my karmic patterns, my horrible finances, my messy divorce, my battle with my kids, my career that doesn't seem to go anywhere, whatever it looks like in your life. It is something that is happening species-wide. Everyone is scared. Everyone feels hopeless sometimes. Everyone feels that they can't get what they want. Every single seeker of truth starts out feeling that it will never happen for them. And here you are working through those frequencies, those vibrations. It only takes, and this has been proven now scientifically, 1% of the human population being at least slightly awake to the truth of their real nature to cause a global shift. I can't exactly remember. I think that's like, I worked it out at one point, 750,000 awakened beings. Or 2 or 3 million beings that are at least even aware that there is something to be aware of, or some mixture of those. And that's not really an impossible number, is it? That's something very doable and is already in progress. Here we are in this retreat now. And if you think of all the non-duality teachers and students and sanghas and groups and gatherings, all the churches, all the organizations, everything, all the books that have ever been written that are out there now, it's well in progress. And you are a part of that. Can you imagine for a moment on an energetic level, before you had this body, this kind of satsang happening? Okay, what are we going to focus on this lifetime when we all have our incarnations? Well, let's go through what we're going to go through, and then we'll find each other, and then we'll really work together consciously to transmute these heavier frequencies and shift the whole level of human consciousness. One ocean, infinite number of waves, one ocean is all water. And somebody said, you know what, I'll have this horrible divorce. And somebody else said, you know what, I'll really struggle with my kids. And then somebody else said, I'll take on a feeling of betrayal so that I can really work through that. And somebody else said, you know what, I'll be born in England. I'll go to India. I'll go to New Zealand. And maybe I said, you know what, I'll show up in England and help you find and all come together. You know, can you imagine some kind of satsang like that going on? Knowing that we were going to forget each other completely, get totally lost for a while. And then this joy of coming back together. There's something so extraordinarily courageous and brave about that. Knowing you were going to set off on a journey with total amnesia about what the journey's about and how to find the destination and everything. No map, no compass, nothing. The only thing you could take with you is this nagging feeling that just would not go away, that there is something not right about life as you were living it at that point. Something to find somewhere other than what we were experiencing, maybe. So this is really important, this, isn't it? Because this, if you allow it, it will reorient your whole awakening as an act of profound and immediate love. That there is absolutely nothing that this perfect love cannot feel and absorb and transmute back into peace. That maybe the fear, the shame, the apathy, the despair, the hatred, the guilt are on their own journey back to peace. They're on their own awakening back to enlightenment, and they need a conscious human body that's willing to feel those, to let that process occur. And to do that, we need to step away from the thoughts that are causing us to push away that emotion and allow as best we can in any moment to feel it. Because, you know, I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's hard to feel fear and not push it away. Perhaps even harder to feel shame and not push it away. Hopelessness and despair. We would rather feel, I would have rather felt in my own awakening, I would have rather felt terrified or really angry than feel shame or something like that. It took more courage to feel shame than it did terror. In fact, I didn't really feel like I had a choice with terror. It just kind of happened anyway. So that was almost, I'm going to say the word easy, but it wasn't, because it just came upon shame I could distract myself from endlessly and did. But eventually there was a conscious choice. This is what I'm here for. And I have to tell you, this is what you're here for. And you don't need to get out your Superman or Superwoman cape and, you know, your tights and all that, and like, I'm going to go about saving the world. Or maybe you're saving the world and always have been in ordinary human acts of compassion for yourself. Every time you try to help someone feel better, every time you feel something instead of pushing it away, every time you continue on the path to awakening, even though it's ridiculously challenging, even every time you dare to want this, even though it seems impossible, could you be saving the world then in so many ordinary ways where you just smile at someone that really looks like they're having a tough day, or help someone reach something off a shelf in the supermarket that they can't reach before they even have to try to pluck up the courage to ask you, you know? That's not me, by the way, because I'm very short. So I'm the one usually asking, could you possibly get that for me? But you get the idea. Yeah. I used to, when I was really insecure, I used to do my food shopping online so that I didn't even have to try to speak to anyone, get it delivered. Now it's kind of an opportunity for me to go and smile at some people. They think I'm a bit weird sometimes, right? Because I don't know them and I'm smiling anyway, but yeah, some people respond and sometimes it makes a difference. So I hope that I've really shocked you about why you're here. I hope that you have allowed me, and I'm really feeling from you all that you have allowed me to at least put a little gap in why you think you have had the life that you've had. What would any of this be about, really, if it wasn't about love? As in, the most holy act of love that you could do would be to give birth to a human incarnation, your own incarnation, and to bring that forth from your own desire to change everything for everyone, to make it better. Never has that been more possible than this moment right now, with the internet, with TV, all the things, all the tools that we have, with YouTube, access to non-duality teachers and teachings, that you would have had to give up your entire life for and move to a different continent if you wanted to pursue that in previous generations. So, are you willing to let go of this one most prized thought that you may be holding on to more tightly than anything? Perhaps the thought that you're failing at this awakening stuff, or that you're never going to get there, or that the reason that these bad things have happened to you is because you're a bad person. Okay, that's three thoughts, but you know, we hold on to those all equally with intensity. And a lot of the work I do, 80% of that time, is about this crowbar thing. And if you would just help me out a little with more openness, I know you've done it already as I'm talking, I can feel it. But let's go for a little more. Let's go for a little more. What if you are here as a loving presence already? What if you undertook that mission, knowing that you would forget and then come back to remembrance? What does that say about you? Lost and alone in the world for a while, and yet knowing on some level that that was what you were going to experience and come back through the other side again, that somehow we would find each other again. However long that took. And in that, we would have already transmuted a whole load of frequencies. What is this transmuting, really? It's just feeling what you feel without resisting it, which is what we do in the silent sitting. Can you then reorient your entire reason for wanting awakening? Could it be a holy act of reverence for the real self that you are? I'm willing to sit, my body to sit and feel what it's feeling. These frequencies are just floating around in the ether of guilt and shame and fear and anger, looking for the most conscious body that will give them permission to exist inside them for a short time or for as long as is necessary and needed. I couldn't think of any higher use of this lifetime than that. And that makes you an extraordinary being already. And of course, everyone else is too. But maybe they're not conscious of that yet, if they're still caught in the illusion. That makes you an extraordinary being. It also makes you my heroes. You are my heroes. I hope you know that. And I'm saying this because it might be very different to where you came into this retreat. I'm the teacher, you're the student, you've got to try and figure out how to get to where I am and all that nonsense. What if it's not true? I say nonsense because it's absolutely nonsensical to what's actually occurring. I know it feels like that. What if this retreat is more a gathering of beings that have revered and taken on the highest mission consciously and now coming back to that remembrance? But at some point, we have done this. Your mission, should you choose to... No, I'm joking. I'm going to have that music in my head now, Mission Impossible theme tune. But you have made that choice at some point. And that the wisdom that you already encompass is just simply now coming down and being allowed through the higher energy levels, auric bodies, spirit, soul, whatever, from the unmanifest pure ascensions through those subtle energetic layers that you are, and into the mind and body. That's all that's occurring, actually. And in that, there's a great power and presence in the body to be able to feel these things. What if that's all it's ever been about? Consciously working with what's happening. And the biggest challenge you will ever face to doing that is your own thoughts about yourself. So I would hope that I've given you some new thoughts about yourself. And I really would be grateful if you would hold on to those tighter than the idea that you're just not succeeding and that you don't deserve to. What if you're so already succeeding that you've chosen those level and frequency of thoughts so that you can change them on worthiness? Can you imagine what would happen on this planet if every single human being suddenly, overnight, because of a shift, that 1% could no longer feel unworthy or unlovable? What would happen then? Joy, peace, clarity, absolute sharing of resources, more than enough for everyone. Human beings working together, supporting each other, consciously creating how we move forward from here as a species. It gives me goosebumps. That gets me really, really inspired. So as we go into this break in a moment, maybe just sit with what you've heard, what you've taken in. Maybe just ponder that you're here for a very different reason than you think. It may be your own awakening is just the first start in that, the first step. And then from that, some extraordinary life purpose. You don't even need to know what it is. You just need to be open to it. It will show itself. This is this what this body's here doing its bit. First of all, the inner life purpose of waking up to the truth, and then how that expresses itself outwardly is unique for each one of us, but it will be the same mission to change everything, to bring joy and peace and love to the world in whichever way you do that. Most likely not like this at all. To just being you. There's something really powerful there. So if there's a gap now, please don't let it close. Please continue. You've all got your own crowbar to wedge it open even further. It'd be an absolute honor and privilege if you left this retreat, for me, I mean, not that it's over yet, of course, but if you left this retreat having everything fundamentally shifted about why you're here, your thought process,